Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, mainly the gospel lesson, the last portion. Now when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Baptism is the means of grace that is most especially suited for little children and infants. There's a psalm, Psalm 8, and it's verse 2. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise to silence the foe and the avenger. And this is the linkage where we get to our second theme for the day. It's Life Sunday. Against the devil, the foe and avenger. Against the foe and the avenger who takes delight in death, in the death of human beings, in the death especially of the small and the tiny and the helpless. Some statistics. 2018, reported by the governments around the world, how many abortions were there? 40 million. Our own country? 250,000. Another statistic that I had to look up and I had to follow up and I had to look behind the figures and see whether they were giving reliable figures. Half of all African Americans die through abortions. Absolutely stunning. Lord have mercy. Then to echo Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. Lord have mercy, because we are sinful human beings and we dwell among a sinful people. Lord, have mercy. And now it's vivid. This is why we needed Jesus to come into our world, why we needed Jesus to come into our human race, our human flesh, and to bear our sin as the sinless Lamb of God. And he has. And so what we see in the gospel lesson is we see the sinless Son of God being baptized. He doesn't need to be. Jesus did not need to be baptized, but we needed him to be. He did not need to be baptized, but the jostling crowd of sinners around him desperately needed for Jesus to go into the water and come out of the water and have the blessings given. We needed him to be baptized because we needed for Jesus to bring his holiness to that water and to all water that is a salutary flood and a washing away of sins. We needed it desperately. It is like Luther says, what Jesus earned on the cross, he now distributes. And you've heard it recited here. He distributes it how? Through the word. Through the word joined with the water, the wet word. Through the word wrapped up in bread and wine with the body and blood of Jesus, the tasty word. We needed that grace and that holiness from Jesus to come to us. And Jesus had decided that in the waters of baptism, he was going to join himself to us and with us. He was going to share all that he had, and he was going to share all that we had. And so he goes to the waters of baptism. Here's a picture of it forming in my mind. It's like a potluck. It's like a potluck where you bring a dish and he brings a dish and you're going to share it all. And now ask yourself, what did you bring to the waters of baptism? I know what I brought. I brought sin. I brought uncleanness. I brought rebellion against God. I brought stubborn refusal to believe the words and promises of God. I came there unclean as anything. That's what I brought to that potluck. Wonderful dish, isn't it? What did Jesus bring? Ah, there we go. He brought holiness. He brought his sinlessness. He brought eternity in himself. He brought life. He brought faith. Faith that is absolute and trusting in the words and promises of God. He brought his total and complete obedience to his Father and the relationship of love and joy back and forth with his Father. That's what he brought to baptism. And Jesus has decided that as we bring our part, as he brings his part, it's all to be mingled and shared together. How's that work? First, he takes our part. He takes the sin, the uncleanness. He takes the unbelief, the rebellion. He takes a life that's a mess and a life that has a mess inside of it. And he carries all of that for us. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And as he does that, he loads us onto his back and carries us to the cross. This is the solution for our need, the solution for our rebellion, the solution for our sin and uncleanness is radical. There has to be a death, a dying and a rising. A dying and a rising to new life. So we got, on Friday, a wondrous coincidence. We were here for a funeral. Harriet Osmondson had passed from this life. And as we were preparing the funeral, finally, 2 days before the funeral, I looked at her confirmation certificate. And I saw something and dropped the page and dropped my jaw and, wow, could not believe it. Her funeral was scheduled for the 94th anniversary of her baptism. Well, that changes things. I have to rewrite this funeral, don't I? You got to put in something from Romans chapter 6. And I've got to say at the funeral, this is not her first burial. She had her first burial 94 years ago on this day. Buried with Christ by baptism into death. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of God, we too may walk in newness of life. And then on Saturday, we got a phone call, well, got a text from Kathy Thompson. Mark Thompson's going out to Arizona to be with family. Saturday morning, 4 o'clock about in the morning, Daryl Thompson passed from this life. Realize they're planning for a funeral and a burial, but it will not be the first burial for Daryl. This is his second burial coming up. His first happened, I don't know how many years ago, and it was wet. It was a wet burial because He was buried with Christ by baptism into death. Now, you've been through a burial. The first one. Takes away the sting of the second one, doesn't it? Because that first burial joins you with Jesus. He decided that he was going to mingle everything together. And he took your sin, your unbelief, your uncleanness, your death, your judgment, your condemnation, and he carried that off to where he could leave it at the cross. And then the second part is what he brings. What he brings to this joining together, he brings his holiness. And the Bible talks from close to the beginning all the way through into the last book of the Bible about us being clothed in the righteousness of Christ, wrapped in his holiness. That's what it means every time the Bible talks about the white robes. That's the holiness of Jesus, clothing us and making us right in the eyes of God. That's also the first of the blessings that is poured out, that is revealed after Jesus is baptized and comes up out of the water and is praying. The heavens are open. The wall between, the separation, the barrier between God and you, between you and God, it's swept away, done away with. The sin is gone. And in Jesus, all there is the holiness of Jesus to clothe us sinful people and to give us the promise of eternal life. The second blessing, the Holy Spirit coming down upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And, okay, it's confirmation class moment. What is the first, chief, and most important work of the Holy Spirit? It is to create I've said this enough times. It is to create. It begins with an F. Yeah. You knew it. It is to create faith in us. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. To bind us together with the words and promises of God. To link us with God through the stuff that is the very life of God. The words and promises of God. That amazing stuff. And where we, coming on our own to the words and promises of God, stare at it like a cow at a new gate, not quite sure what it is or what to do with it, but that it's different. It isn't something that was there in our life before, those words and promises of God. But with the Holy Spirit, the words and promises of God take root deep in the heart and the soul, and there is faith. There is the, yes, I believe this, Lord. This is true. This is the truth that binds my life together with yours, and it is what you have done, Lord. Little detour. You notice that without the grace of God, we could not believe the words and promises of God. It's all by grace, all by his doing. And Jesus comes to us. He is the Word of God with hands and feet, the Word of God in the water, the Word of God who gives himself to us, the Word of God who takes the name of God and pours it over us together with the water. And so, God's Word, God's promises, God's name, God's holiness, God's Son, all of those are given to us as a gift from God. And the Holy Spirit working in the heart brings us into faith. And the third blessing is where the Father, he's going to speak. The Father must speak because here is his beloved Son. Here is his Son Jesus in the water. Here he is taking his place with sinners, so that sinners may be redeemed and brought into the family of God. Here he is. Has there ever been one like him? Behold my servant, as Isaiah says, behold my servant. Here he is, taking the holiness of God and bringing it into our world, taking the holiness of God and giving it to sinners. Here he is, taking the sinners on himself so that he may carry their sins to the cross. Here he is, redeeming the world and calling everyone into his love. So the Father must speak. This is my Son, my beloved. With you I am. And here's that word again that came along. We found it in December and worked at it a bit. Not just well pleased. With you I am delighted. With you I am overjoyously delighted in you. So delighted in you that I can hardly express it. And now, because Jesus has decided that all these things are mingled together, this is what happens in your baptism. Heaven is open. The Holy Spirit works faith inside your heart. And God the Father, there at the waters of baptism, he looks at you and he says, this is my child. And with you, oh, in you I am absolutely delighted. In you, how can I express how much delight and love and joy I have in you? Does that sound over the top? For God the Father to say that about us sinners? Yeah. That sounds over the top. But that's what it means. And it is that way. Why? Because of the grace of God. There was nothing we could do to deserve having God the Father even say, I suppose they'll pass. We couldn't even earn that. But here we have God the Father's delight in his Son Jesus. And now it's mingled together, and God the Father looks at you in that way. What do you do with that? Well, in part, you say, like Paul said, now that sin is forgiven, should we just go ahead sinning so that grace may abound? No way! How can we do that? We were buried with Christ by baptism into death. We were raised with him. We have an eternal life to live connected to God. How shall we live that life? Rejoicing. Going along each day and knowing that we are walking in the presence of God and that every second of our life is linked with an eternal Savior. That's what it is to be a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.